Blog Talk Radio.
Matovu, Matovu. Matovu, Matovu. Ohaleha. Ohaleha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha Yisrael, Mishkenotecha Yisrael,
Matovu, Matovu.
Matovu, Matovu.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be unto you, Abba Yah, and to your son, Yahushua HaMashiach. We thank you, Father, for the blessing of this day, the Shabbat day, Father, in the midst of the feast of Sukkot, Father. We ask, Father, now that you look down upon us with mercy, with favor, and with loving kindness, Father. We ask, Father, that your presence dwell among us, Father, today and every day, Father, in our lives, but in particular as we come together, Father, to honor your holy season, to honor your holy days, Father, and to dwell in booths, Father, as you commanded us to do thousands of years ago, Father. Ask, Father, that you look upon our brothers and sisters who are unable to make it, Father, for various reasons, Father, and in particular those who are unable to make it because of their health. I ask you, Father, to look down upon Zakeem Matael, Zakeem Gary, Zakeem Aminiyah, Father, which the various illnesses that they are going through right now, Father, that you look down upon them with mercy, Father, that you comfort them, Father, emotionally, you comfort them spiritually, Father, and you also comfort them physically, Father, as they cry out to you, Father, and they lift their voices up to you, Father, and ask you, Father, to heal them in every manner, Father. You say you heal the brokenhearted and that you bind up wounds, Father. We ask you, Father, to bind them up in the different ways, Father, they need to be bound, Father. We miss their presence out here, Father, all of them, Father. We miss the presence of the families who are unable to stay out here, Father, for whatever reason, Father. We ask, Father, that you continue to bless them, Father. You continue to lift them up, Father, and uphold them, again, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically, Father. And we ask, Father, and we invite your presence into all of our secrets, Father, while we are out here, Father, at the community site, at the 358, where we will go on fellowship later, Father. We thank you for your spirit that dwelt among us yesterday, Father, as we discussed your word, Father. We thank you for the lessons that you gave us yesterday, Father, and we look forward to the lesson that you are going to give us later on today, Father. And, Father, we just ask, Father, that, again, your mercy, your kindness, your favor be amongst us, Father. Father, we do this in honor of you, Father. We do this to continue to build this relationship, Father, with you that, as we discussed yesterday, Father, the family that you were trying to bring back together, to heal the household, Father, that was fractured, Father, before we even came into existence, Father. We thank you for calling us out, Father. We thank you for forming us in the womb, Father. We thank you, Father, for leading us along the way up to this point today, Father, so that we could have this personal relationship with you and your son, Yahushua, Father. So again, Father, we just ask that you continue to look upon us with mercy, kindness, and favor. B'shem Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed are you, Yahushua, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered the truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
Kol Shabbat.
Right.
Shabbat Shalom, family.
Shabbat Shalom.
Once again, I have the esteemed pleasure and honor to sit amongst you and talk about the words of our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And and I'm happy that I actually get to do this in the presence of my brothers and sisters. I miss seeing everybody's faces, you know, when I do the blog talk radio, because to be honest, when I'm among everybody, I love the energy. You know, I really feel it's different than sitting in front of my computer and just, you know, talking. You know, it's like when you're in the presence of other brothers and sisters, you know, it gives you a different sense of purpose of why you teach,
right.
You know, as opposed to just sitting in front of a screen or talking into a microphone. It's like you realize the significance and the importance when you are standing in the midst of your brothers and sisters, as well as the honor and the responsibility that Abba has placed upon us who have been chosen to teach his word or bring forth his word. It has more of an impact when you see the brothers and sisters. And, you know, it just feels good to be sitting amongst everybody today that is out here. And I was really looking forward to this. I don't think I've ever had the privilege of teaching the blog talk in the midst of the feast. So this is also a special occasion for me. You know, last year I wasn't able to stay amongst the brothers because we were in the midst of COVID protocol, and I just so happened to fall into that category just in during the midst of the feast. So unfortunately, I was able to set up, but couldn't really spend the time out here because they put me in quarantine. So, you know, didn't want to make and be the one to cause any hurt, harm, or danger to my brothers and sisters, you know. So just, it was what it was back then. But it is what it is now. Right. And we out here. Shalom, Ravi.
Hello.
Good to see you, Ravi. All right. Shalom, brother Yarrow. Good to see you. Shalom, brother Ivy. Ema Bithia. Sister Eliora. Sister Melissa. Do you have a Hebrew name? No? Well, not Sister yet. Melissa works just as well. Shalom, sister. And I hope everybody is doing well. I hope everybody's enjoying the feast. I hope everybody's getting some good sleep under the crisp, fresh air of Patapsco Valley State Park. And, you know, and as I was contemplating on the lesson just before Vlog Talk started and music was playing, I opened up my little book here and found this, Voices of Power.
Man.
The very first
Hallelujah.
One we were given back then for everybody to start thinking of ideas. Remember that? That's what you gave everybody. All the brothers who, you know, at the time were gonna
wow.
were willing to do the Blog Talk, back in 10/7/15. So according to the Gregorian calendar date, how many years is that? 6 years ago. So about 6 years going strong now. You know, had a little few bumps in the road, but this is the call that Abba gave us to speak his voice into power. And it makes me think about the discussion that we had yesterday, which was such a beautiful discussion.
Hallelujah.
You know, because one of the brother asked about a particular movie that, you know, we believe is a believer-style movie, mm-hmm. Fallen. And do we believe that the things that took place in Fallen can really happen? And, you know, the consensus was more or less, yes, those things can happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that we see the flip side or the converse to what took place in Fallen, whereas a wicked and evil spirit, which they, you know, which was identified as Azazel, you know, going out and causing man to do all kinds of evil, but we are called to do the opposite, to transfer that power that Abba has blessed us with to help people to understand to do good. And that you can come into this personal relationship with our Heavenly Father
mm-hmm.
and be able to enjoy something that so many people don't know about. They're in ignorance about. You know, got a testimony today when Brother Marva L and I went to go reserve the site. The gentleman who helped us reserve the site yesterday, you know, said, hey, you guys are late. I've been waiting on y'all. You know, like he was holding the spot until we got there. He said, well, it's only 9:05. He was like, well, we still late, you know. He wasn't there. He said, be there at 9 o'clock, you know. And come to find out, you know, he's a tax man. So, you know, he about that business, right? And one of the things that, you know, he said was, you know, hey, while you guys were singing yesterday, that there were people who were coming to inquire of him, who is that group that was up there singing those nice songs? So, you know, when we do these things, it's not just for our benefit. And that's proof positive that, you know, we may be out here feeling like, you know, whatever we feel, whether it's a sense of joy, whether it's cold or whether it's, you know, do we really have to do these things? And yes, we do have to do these things. It's important that we are dedicated and we are steadfast because we don't know who we may come across and what they may glean from that, you know, and that's a testimony, whether these people, whoever asks follows through and says, hey, I want to learn a little bit more about that. Or even if it's just for Yahweh to say, hey, I see y'all out here camping. And I'm not just talking about us, because everybody out here is his child, He created everybody out here. And as we discussed yesterday, he created some for a specific purpose, for his purpose, but he created every single human being, every entity that's out here, right? And at one point, they will have to face their Heavenly Father, just like we will. That's what the Word says. And if you could come out here to camp just for rest and relaxation, you can come out here and do the same thing that my children have done. You know, it's not impossible. It's not difficult. You know, my sister was talking about her being up at the non-electric site and some of her perils at the non-electric site, which we know very well. I think that was one and done for all of us, especially once that coal kick in on that non-electric site. You say, looky here. It's one thing to be in the dark, but it's a whole other thing to be in the dark and be cold, and you can't plug a heater in if you're one of them people that need that heater. You know, so I think we're pretty much one and done with that non-electric stuff. It was fun for the moment, you know, but anyway, you know, so it's not impossible to do this. Not for one day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, five days, six, you know, the 7 days that he asks us. He asks us to come out here and to do this. You know, the word commandment always sounds like, I command you to do it. And I think, you know, they do a disservice in that translating the word that way, like law. They use particular, like they say, dog whistles or buzzwords so that it could spark that rebellious nature in everybody. It's the law. And we know that people don't like to be told what to do. You know, from the time we're little children, that one child will say to another child, you're not the boss of me. You can't tell me what to do. Well, that nature doesn't change within us as we get older. And this is what Abba looks for in particular children. Who's going to be obedient to me despite their nature saying, who don't at this point, when it's time to take a shower, want to go home and take a nice warm shower? When it's time to do your business, rather do that business in the comforts of your home. I think everybody wants that creature comfort. But now the question is, can you forego your creature comforts to spend some time being obedient to your Heavenly Father? And again, this ain't nothing compared to what our foreparents had to do in order to do this feast. We got a bathhouse where we can go and still have plumbing, hot and cold running water. You know, as a matter of fact, I think some of us can get a super hot shower out here and let it run and run and run to our heart's content to the point where we may not be able to do at home, depending on what size tank you got. So you can come out here and let the water run and just, woo, you know, feel real good up in here. So, you know, you can come out here and you can spend that time and you can do this at a time, you know, like I said, when we have all these modern conveniences. Our parents did this, and all they had is moonlight. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I really enjoy about this feast, too, is if you've ever been in the country, when I say country, like deep country, or if you've ever been in a non-electric site, you know how dark it can be. I mean, darkness in the country is darkness, like how the scriptures say darkness they could feel, even though we know it pointed to something different. But when you be in that country black, that country dark, oh, that full moon is like sunshine. If you ever been out there, anybody ever been out that level kind of, ain't that, when you in the full moon, ain't it like sunshine? But it has a silvery glow to it on your skin, don't it? It make you, it turn you into silver, right? But when we see that moon, and that's one of the things me and my brother Yara was talking about, he took his pictures and stuff, right, that the joy we have coming out here is watching that, and we always seem to get that super bright silvery moon. And the nights when the sky is clear and we see the moon, and look, we all get selfish. Yeah, bro, the moon rides right over my camp. Nah, bro, I see it always rises over my camp. We get selfish with it. We get a little competition. Nah, the moon rises. It rises over all of our sights. But because it feels so special to us, we take it personal. That moon, nah, it's right over my, it's over all our campsite. Yeah. But we want to feel like, yeah, our campsite is the best one because the moon is, woo, like that. And we see it, man. It's so beautiful. And to see that beautiful full moon rising up, and we all know exactly where to look for. We know exactly it's coming from that direction. It's going to rise up, and it's going to sit up there while we're sleeping, just watching over us.
Right.
You know, especially we know what the moon represents. The moon represents the lesser light, Yahushua HaMashiach, right? And how he lets us know while y'all sleeping right above your campsite, I'm watching over y'all. I'm looking down on y'all saying how good and how pleasant it is to see my children keeping my holy days, right? My man's smiling. Don't it feel good?
Yeah.
It makes it all worth it. It makes being cold in the middle of the night, contemplating whether or not you want to take that trek over to the restroom, you know, worried about whether you might want to get you a snack in the middle of the night and you might meet old Mr. Raccoon and his friends up in there, you know, right? You know, it makes it all worth it because it's like, one, we're being obedient. Two, you know, we understand the significance of it and the joy that it gives us to be out here and watch our children get older every day, to be out here and for the brothers watch the more graves creep up into our beds and stuff, you know. But listen to what Abba says. Psalms 133, right? It's only, what, I think three verses in here, but we sing this song. A song of the degrees of Dawid. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And he says, it is like precious ointment upon the head. You know, watching my brother light up his shea butter to melt it down. You know, he painstakingly rubs it in his hand. You know, when you think about after you come out that nice hot shower, what's the first thing that you want to do? Well, if you don't want to be ashy, you know, you make sure you get that oil on your skin. So when he says it's like precious ointment upon the head, he's talking about, you know, when Aharon, especially before he's going to do his officiating as a Kohen HaGadol, he ain't trying to go before the he's got to clean. That's the first requirement. You've got to clean yourself up.
Man.
But then after you clean yourself up, the next thing you got to do is you got to lube yourself down. You got to pour that ointment on yourself because now that you've cleaned your skin, if you don't oil it, it's going to get dry. It's actually going to have the opposite effect of feeling that goodness that you had when you first cleaned yourself. You want to get that ointment on your skin. You want to feel the that moisture and that suppleness coming back to you. So he's associating it with that good feeling of when you oil yourself up, right? That ran down upon his beard. And all of us who had that beard, what's the one thing we make sure that we do? Get a little extra, especially if your beard is thick. You will rub it down into your skin and you want to make sure that you feel it a little bit, make sure you know you feel the nice slickness you want to feel to the texture of your hair, and you say, oh, no, I need a little bit more, a little bit more, right? And then you comb it through because, you know, you want to make sure that it's got that suppleness because we got that texture here. At least I do that. You don't want that boy popping. Especially the longer it gets, the more it's going to pop. My sons hate for their hair to get too long because I'd be like, pop, and that boy, you know, it's like the nasty just popping in your head like little fire. Same thing when we comb our beard. So you want to make sure that boy is nice and lubed and feeling good. So, you know, Aharon probably having the same texture here we got. You know, he wants to make sure it's like when he combs it through, because before he presents himself in his officiating duties, he wants to make sure that he represents himself well. You know, even though we know Yahweh's not looking at the flesh, but just the simple fact that he is going before the presence of the holy God who he was introduced to personally because he heard that voice at Mount Sinai. So the reality of him was even more so than it is for us today. So when he's going before the presence of the Creator, he's going to make sure, especially then, he had the Kadosh La Yahweh on the top of his head. He had that Ephod on. So he can't just go out there looking any old kind of way, because when the people look to him, they are looking at the pinnacle of the Kohanim, the pinnacle of the priesthood. So it was imperative to him that he looked his best physically, spiritually, emotionally, because he represented the Creator to the people.
Amen.
Anyway. Went on that. Again, 133:2, and I'm not going to say that word. I'm not going to make that phrase. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the head, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. So what is that talking about? His whole body was anointed with that oil. So don't get the picture in our mind the way it reads that, oh, he just poured so much oil on his body that it was dripping onto his clothes. No, it's letting you know he He took that ointment and he covered himself in it. He lathered himself in it. He made sure that all the way down to the very part where the pomegranate bells were, that his whole body wasn't ashy. Okay? A term we could all relate to here. He wasn't going before the presence of the Creator as an ash bomb, as we used to joke people back in the day and say, oh, you an ash bomb. What you just kicking around? You took a bath in flour? Right? So again, even back to read the whole verse, 133:2, family, forgive me. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. And he relates it to this, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there Yahweh commanded blessings, even life forevermore. So when we come together and we do this and we unify, Yahweh takes notice of it. And to Yahweh, because we submitted to we submitted to his voice and obeyed what he asked us to do, Yahweh say, you know what? Just like before I had to send rain, this is so sweet to me, because when you think about why we even got rain, we got rain because of disobedience. But while man was obedient in his infancy, what came up from the ground was dew, right? So when he relates it to that dew, it's that purity, it's that essence of before man became so wicked, I had to send rain and I had to open up the depths and I had to destroy them. That's what it is to me when I see brothers coming together. It was that purity of that time before mankind was in such a sinful state. That dew came up and it said that it gave nourishment to all the earth. Because there was a time the earth didn't need rain. But because of disobedience and the corrupt and sinful nature of man, what did Yahweh say? He said man is corrupt and every inclination of his heart, everything he wanted to do was evil. So guess what? I had to send rain to purge this entire planet of every single human being, however many there was at that time, save 8 souls: Noah, Japheth, Ham, and Shem, and their wives, right? And the animals that went with them upon the ark, right? But everything else, he had to use rain to purify and destroy all the rest of the souls that dwelt upon it. So when we come together now, Yahweh says, you know what? Because of their obedience, not only are we getting blessed, but all of humanity is getting blessed as a result of this, right? For instance, let me read something to y'all. Let's go to, and my brother, I thank my brother Sheva L, because I looked for this particular verse for so long, and it wasn't until we were having a discussion, he brought this up, and I was like, hallelujah.
Amen.
Romans 8:18, family, right? He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's a message back to what we were talking about yesterday, that oftentimes, you know, we look for these super miraculous things. You know, we want our shadow to go past and heal the way, you know, it happened with the apostles. We want to be able to cut up our garments and hand it out and say, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed, you know. But it's the simple things that we do, just being obedient in this sense,
amen,
that is counted towards our future glory, right? Says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Because there is going to be a glorious revelation that comes through each and every one of us that is sitting here.
Amen.
Am I right, Sister Aliora? Hallelujah. You know, because right now we're in that seed state, right? And when you look at some seeds sometimes, you'd be like, you know, it looks insignificant. We spit them out. Pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, watermelon seeds. You know, we used to play around back in the day. How far can you spit that watermelon seed? We didn't take the value of the seed to the point now where You know, I remember growing up, all you got was seeded grapes. But as time went on, now you got to hunt for seeded grapes. And when you find them, they're not that tasty, as being so insignificant that, you know, we often toss it aside. But that seed contains within it the potential to save human life.
Amen.
If we have no more seed for that watermelon, that pumpkin, that orange, whatever it is, it's gone forever. And we live now in a time where we've seen species that have gone extinct because of mankind's destructive power. But anyway, for the 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of Yah. Do we understand that? Do we understand the magnitude of what is being said in this verse? Let me see if I'm reading it from another translation. It might help bring it across. I'm going to the TS 2009, right? Listen to this, man. Listen to how this reads, 8:19. For the intense longing. Anybody else reading it in the TS 2009? Doesn't that sound different when you hear it? The intense longing of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of who? The sons and daughters of Elohim. And I like the note that they put in there, head. So it's like this. It's like, for instance, if you've ever had a loved one that took too long to get home, right? Whatever it is, mommy, daddy, brother, sister, child, and especially if as a parent to a child, and you say, wait a minute, my child usually come home by 3:15. It's 3:16. Especially if you're a mother, 3:16 hit, you like, wait a minute now, I don't see my child. You know, that's what the creation is doing. The creation's like, where they at? How long is it going to take them to come? When are they going to emerge, right? That is what that we are joyful to be out amongst every one of these trees, every one of these creatures. They don't want to live in this condition. They don't want to live under pollution. They don't, the little rodent that we were talking about earlier, don't want to have to be in fear of the cat. That rodent is Yahweh's creature too. It wants to live, even though it spreads disease and does all sorts of things, it still got life in it. Look at the lion. Look at the lion. You know, we hear about in the scriptures that one day the lion and the lamb are going to cohabitate together, and one doesn't have to fear the other, and one doesn't have to hunger for the other. So all those little lambs and those clean creatures that we watch on National Geographic, and we see how the predator hunts them down, you know, but that predator, the way things are now, needs to live. And the only way that it can live, it can't live off of vegetation. It has to live off of that clean creature. To be in fear of that creature, but that other creature, the predator, needs that clean creature to live. But Yahweh tells us in his word that once things get back to the way I want it, there will be no need for that. The both of them are going to be able to cohabitate together without being in fear of one another. So even when you think about it, even on that level, those clean creatures, they're waiting for us so that they no longer have to be in fear of the lion, the leopard, the tiger, the bear. We don't have to be in fear of the bear. We can all dwell together. But anyway, for the intense longing of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of Elohim. 8:20, for the creation was subject to the futility, not from choice, but because of him who subjected it in anticipation, that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage to the corruption into the esteemed freedom of the children of Elohim. So when you think about what this verse is saying, it is saying that this creation knows that once Yahweh's children to being, and once their creator parts the scrolls like a heaven, they're going to get the rest that they have been longing for too. Why? Because us who are predestined to rule with him in the kingdom, we're not going to stand for all of this destruction. We're not going to stand for the destruction of his God. I think some of us now are pretty fed up with how the powers that be are treating his creation. one of my pet peeves is recycling. And even though, yes, we recycle, we do our civic duty, but hold up, plastic man, the onus is on you to stop creating all this plastic. If you stop creating the plastic, we ain't even got to worry about it filling a recycle bin once a week. Do we or do we not? And they're showing now they have all this quote-unquote biodegradable stuff that they can put these things in. Why aren't you stopping? It's a simple, to me, it's very simple. Create this stuff. I consume it, what's in it, but I don't create it. Y'all creating this stuff to the point where the earth and its creatures, they talk about whales and all these sea creatures, that they're choking and suffocating off of these things because they can't consume it. And all they're doing is looking for food when they consume this stuff. So think about even the sea creatures that they're waiting for. How long must we wait, longing for the day of your return? How often do we even think about that, that they long for this anyway? For the creation was subject to futility, not from choice, but because of him who subjected it in anticipation that the creation itself also shall be delivered from bondage to corruption into the esteemed freedom of the children of Elohim. So they're waiting for us to freedom. For we know that all creation groans together and suffers the pain of childbirth together until now. Childbirth, Sister Elion. Before the epidural, how bad was it?
Painful, very painful.
Very painful? Just very painful? Like stubby toe painful?
No.
Like bumpy knee painful? Like the, painful, like that kind of painful?
Like,
you said somebody ripping you apart painful. Does she have a witness on that? Right? Right? So think about the very thing that's underneath our feet feeling that same way. How you felt that day, the first time, the second time, or however many times you had children, that this that we're standing on, this planet that we live on, is feeling that right now, feeling ripped apart. Is that what you said? Feeling ripped apart, feeling torn asunder, right? And I think sometimes in that process, sometimes a woman gets torn, right? Think about the earth being, and see, we've seen the earth reacting more. See, they're not reporting this on the news as they were before, but that volcano in La Palma is intensifying. It hasn't stopped. They said it was a, what, three-story wall of lava at one point? Just rip. So the earth is saying now, you know what? Y'all keep polluting me. It's almost like when you put pollutants in your body, how does your body react sometimes? Some people get acne, right? Because that poison has to get out of your body somewhere, and some people get it on their face. And when you think about all the poison that we're putting into this creation, it's starting to say, you know what? I'm tired. I have enough, you know? But anyway, 8:22. For we know that all the creation groans together and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only so, but even we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Do we understand what that scripture is saying? How many of us are feeling like, you know what? All of this is becoming a little heavy. All of this is I don't want to say tiresome, but you start to feel like at some point, Yahushua, whew, when you coming? You know, because we're starting to get into that mid-cycle phase, so it's going to be a whole lot of stuff they're going to throw at us again to stoke fear, to stoke anxiety, to stoke all this stuff within us. For all of us to start to cry out for righteous rule.
Amen.
Matter of fact, we'll read through that later. Let me finish to get through this, right? For we know that all creation groans together and suffers the pain of childbirth together until now. And not only so, but even we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For in this expectation we were saved. But expectation that is seen is not expectation. For when anyone sees, does he expect it? Do we understand what that's saying? Let me read it again. For in the expectation we were saved, right? So why did we take the dip? All of us who have taken the dip. We took the dip on condition that once we are saved, that this word and this name that we believe upon will be fulfilled at some point, whether we, our eyes will behold it with our physical eyes when he comes back, or time of the resurrection. That's our expectation, right? That's why we took the dip, because that's what we want, right? I think we all took the dip because we want to dwell with him, right? We didn't take the dip just to take the dip. Our hope, our expectation is that your word will be fulfilled, and when I take this dip, when you come back, I am going to resurrect with you if I am gone. Or, matter of fact, we see in Revelation, where are the holy ones who died in the name of Yahushua? It said they're under his throne, all saying, well, how long are we going to be here? How long are we going to wait down here? Because for us, it seems like a long time. But we know what the scriptures say. It says, what? 1,000 years is just like one day in his eyes. So even though for us, you know, sunrise, sunset, it seems like a tremendously long time, for him, there is no sunrise. There is no sunset. He dwells outside of this reality. But he's got his work that he needs to do based on the time frame in which he was given to do it. But anyway, and if we expect, 8:25, what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with endurance. So again, pray for endurance. Pray to Abba. If you're feeling weary, if you're feeling overwhelmed, pray for that endurance, family. Pray that Abba give you the strength. Pray that Abba give you the wind underneath your wings so that you can continue with whatever trials and tribulations are overwhelming you. 8:26. And in the same way, the Spirit does help in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray, but the Spirit himself pleads our case for us with groanings unutterable, right? So think about how merciful Yahweh is, that even at our lowest point, that he will intercede and pray on our behalf. That's what this scripture tells us, that even if you don't know what to pray for, does not the scripture say, take no heed? Don't worry, Yahweh got all the hairs on your head numbered. He knows what you want before you even ask for it. So guess what? All right, you're too overwhelmed in it, but you're crying out to me. What I'm going to give you at this point is my own spirit that will then cry out to me. And if you've ever been in that fetal position, snot running down your nose, that's the spirit interceding for you. When you've gotten to that point where you can't even utter words, all you're, I've been there, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I've been in that situation in my life where I need you now to step in and even pray for me to relieve me from this grief, this heartache, this guilt for the sins that I have committed against you, Abba Yah. Oh, yeah. 8:26. And in the same way, the Spirit does help in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray, but the Spirit himself pleads our case for us with groanings unutterable. Imagine now the judge saying, you know what? I know what you want, plaintiff. I know what you want, defendant. I'm going to speak. No, that's not what the judge does. The judge just sits there and adjudicates. He hears both cases, and whoever presents the better argument, he gives them what they want. Our judge will intercede on our behalf for us. 8:27, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the holy ones according to Elohim. And we know that all matters work together for good to those who love Elohim, to those who are called according to his purpose. Because those whom he knew beforehand, he also ordained beforehand to be conformed to the likeness of his son. Ain't that right, huh? Hallelujah. To be conformed to the likeness of his son. So what we are doing now by doing this, as old Gershom the Daniels illustrated, to be molded and be shaped into what? Into our own form, or into the form of the one that he formed? Hallelujah. Again, because those who knew those whom he knew beforehand, he also ordained beforehand to be conformed to the likeness of his son, for him to be the firstborn among many brothers. What did we talk about last night? What's the first Hebrew letter in the Bible, IQ? What's the first? The first letter in the Hebrew scriptures? The first Hebrew letter in the scriptures? All right. What's the last Hebrew letter that ends the scriptures?
None.
And what did the two together, a parent root, make?
Ben.
What is Ben?
Son.
Right? For him to be the firstborn among many brothers. Isn't that what we discussed yesterday? That he is bringing the family back together? Why? Because as was illustrated, there are parts of the family that don't do this. There are parts of the family that are ignorant to this. There were parts of the family who once did this and stepped away from this. But it didn't start down here. It started up there. Because all of the parable of the prodigal son, what illustration did he use? He said he had two sons, right? One went away and took his inheritance, right? Right? While the other stayed at home, right? But the father stood in the doorway waiting for that one to return once he got his mom back together. What does that parable point to? That there are sons out here who are caught up in error, that Abba is waiting for them to get their minds right to come back home. To come back home. Why? Family unit has been broken in the heavens. So for all the ones who made that choice to not just sin against their creator, but to wage war against the one who gave them life. And as we discussed yesterday, what did he say? He said, don't marvel that you had the power over demons when they were out there. We could cast out demons. Oh, yeah, he said, don't marvel over that. That ain't nothing. I witnessed Hasatan being thrown down out of heaven like lightning. But marvel at the fact that your name is written in the book of life, right? So if him, from what we learn in Job, being one of his sons, guess what? And as a result of him being kicked out, the family unit up there was fractured. So he's waiting to bring the sons back together. Because he wants the family together. Aren't we here at a family reunion?
Hallelujah.
What are the 3 days that all the sons are supposed to come up?
Come on, man.
We got three feast days where the sons are supposed to come up. And not just sons, the daughters too, who are able, that are supposed to come up, right? And isn't this one of them?
Yes.
And what we read in the scriptures, how this one in Jerusalem, we talk about party time, and I don't mean party, shake your money, make a party. We're talking about hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Toda, toda, Yahweh. I mean, they got together, la, 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 with joy.
Man.
You know, my sister brought back our first year out here and the song that was created, Yahushua is King. And it's hard to capture that lightning in a bottle twice. But that lightning that was caught that day is one of the favorite songs that we sing.
Man.
Because of the joy we felt at Sukkah.
Man.
After enjoying Ascetic the year before. That was an ordeal. Still memorable, boy. Shoot. Yahweh gonna look down upon us and said, you know what, y'all? Y'all did good. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 8:30. Excuse me, Mr. B. And whom he ordained beforehand, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also declared right. And whom he declared right, these he also esteemed. Hmm? So anyway, family, we see that what we are doing out here is repairing, bringing back, not just us, but everything, all of the creation, even the people who, like I said, we don't even know them, but we're doing this for their sake also, because by us doing this, hopefully they will come into a relationship with our Creator, right? Hallelujah. I lost the other verse that I was going to. Maybe, you know what? Oh, that's what I want to read. Okay. One other scripture, family. Going to Numbers 24, 1 through 14, family. And this is, we know this story about, you know, Balaam and what Balaam did, but reading the entire account, I just want to read the final part of what Balaam had to realize, right? November 24:1. And when Balaam saw that it pleased Yahweh to bless Israel, because remember, he was commissioned by Balak to go out and curse the sons and daughters of Israel. Why? Because Balak was looking at them as a threat to his establishment. Right or wrong, when we go and look at the accounts, Balak saw them as a threat. He saw all those tents being gathered around. He saw them, hundreds of thousands of men, and understanding and knowing that the Creator, their God, this is the one thing we have to understand. There was a time in the history of the world that Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh had such renown among the nations that they feared that name. They feared it. They were afraid of the people who were given that name as a weapon of destruction. And that when they were right with their God, as the scriptures say, could nothing stop them. When these people were obedient to him, when the people that were obedient to him, if we think Goliath made a ruckus, when the children of Israel were coming through, they didn't have to make a ruckus because the name made a ruckus for them. So one of the things that when people saw us amassing, because we were a nomadic people back then, we were moving from station to station.
Right.
When the people started to see us come through with our tents, setting up, they start getting on edge. Just like, wait a minute now, what's going on? You know, tents coming together. We putting together tents. We starting to settle in. So it starts to send off signals to the people. Beep, 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 beep. What's going on here? And Balak was one of them, right? So he commissioned Balaam. He said, look here, I need you as a prophet of the Most High to go down there and ensure that they do not set up camp and become comfortable in obedience to their Creator, right? Okay. And when Balaam, 24:1, saw that it pleased Yahweh to bless Israel, he did not go as at other times to seek to use sorcery, but he set up his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes. And the spirit Elohim came upon him. Did we see what happened?
Yep.
He saw the encampments of the people. And as opposed to relying on witchcraft and sorcery, the spirit of Yah swept over his soul. Isn't that what the scriptures say? And the spirit of Elohim came upon him. The band said he waited for us to 9:00. He said, I was waiting for y'all. We don't know this man. We just met. These are all new people to us. But already, and we've had testimonies in the past. Oh, we look forward to seeing y'all every year, because then y'all come, y'all bring the singing. Y'all also bring the rain. But you know what? It's okay. Abba always gives us favor. Always gives us favor in the eyes of the people out here, because we don't come out here in drunken revelry. We don't come out here bringing a whole bunch of foolishness with us. We come out here because we want to be obedient to our Heavenly Father. And we come in peace, and we leave in peace.
Amen.
We dwell here for these 7 days in peace. And the worst they got to worry about us is what? Banging, which they have said from time to time, oh, we love to hear y'all sing. Haven't we heard that from them? Several years? Told my beloved sister over several years when they saw her name, they knew good times were coming. That's what the camp host used to say. And once they saw my sister's name, they knew we were coming, and they knew pleasantness was coming with us. That should give us joy every time that we come out here, that we are representing our Heavenly Father to the point where it is giving them a testimony that there's no charge that they can lay at our feet. There's no charge that they can lay at our Heavenly Father's feet, all because of the fact that we did anything ill or out of sorts in their eyes. So we're representing him well. And the brother at the top said, man, I'm waiting for y'all to come up here. And then he didn't have to tell us that there were people stopping and want to know what group were they that were up there singing and how they enjoyed the song. I'm watching people walk back and forth, and I'm wondering what they're thinking. Well, hallelujah, they were thinking pleasant thoughts about us.
Hallelujah.
Hmm? Hallelujah. Is that right, Brother Ivy? Right. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, Ravi. Amen, amen. Hmm? Again, and Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Yisrael encamped according to their tribe, and the spirit of Elohim came upon him. I can't go back to sorcery after saying this. Proverbs said, the saying of Balaam, son of Beor, and the saying of the man whose eyes are opened. The saying of him who hears the words of El, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with opened eyes. With eyes opened wide. And what does he say? My tovu. I mean, I could just see him at that point because he just, it's not like in the movie, the Spirit of God came upon him. And no, you got to think about the unadulterated joy that this man's like, woo, my tovu. How good are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Yisrael. I got to switch to the translation for this part right here. It looks strange to me. As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of lime aloes, which Yahweh hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. And when you look at all these different plants, when you look at aloe, what does aloe do? Aloe is one of the greatest healing agents for creation, right? Cedar trees. Cedar trees are known to keep away pests. That was what was used for the temple, right? We didn't even have cedars in our native land, so Solomon had to import cedars from Lebanon to bring them down. Why? Because cedar wood is aromatic, but it also it resists pestilence. So it's not a wood, it's a hardy wood. It's expensive. That's why a lot of people don't even have it in their homes. It's a hardy wood. It's very aromatic. It's a very pleasant smelling wood. You know, and again, it's strong. It's not even easy. A lot of people don't use it because it's expensive. It's precious. It's precious. It's like the diamond of wood. Anyway, 24/7. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. His secret pavilion being amongst the dark waters. It says his seed shall be in many waters. What'd he say? I'm going to scatter y'all throughout the four corners of the earth. What we learned about what waters means, what waters are peoples, places, and things. So I'm scattering my seed among the peoples. Simone, that you might live 30 miles from Patapsco State Park, but you still coming up here to spend time with Abba. Bored kids, huh? Sit down and listen. Hebrews 24:7. He shall pour the waters out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than a god, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Whose kingdom? Whose kingdom? Numbers 24:8. Yah brought him forth out of Egypt. He has it as it were the strength of gonna read that about no unicorn. I'm going back to TS 2009. El brought him out of Mitzrayim. It's for like the horn of wild ox. Excuse me. He devours nations, his enemies, and he breaks their bones. And with his arrows he smites them. Lo, the sons are a heritage to Yahweh, and the fruit of the womb his reward, and arrows are in the hand. It's talking about our mighty one, right? And with his arrows, with his sons, he smites. So when, as we were talking about yesterday, when you bring forth the word of Yahweh, when you take that word and you draw that bow and you shoot it into the heart of a man, guess what you have just done? You have now become the weapon against the adversary to now free somebody from that darkness that they are under. You have now become that weapon against the enemy. 24:9, he bowed down. He lay down like a lion. And like a lion, who would rouse him? Blessed is he who blesses you and is he who curses you. Then the displeasure of Balak burned against Balaam. Why? Because the spirit of Elohim came upon him. He was happy with him as long as he was a sorcerer. But now that the spirit of Elohim has swept him over and all he could think about is present things, now he's mad at him. And listen to what he said, family. I summoned you to curse my enemies. Who's he talking about? Yishmael. I summoned you to curse my enemies. And see, you have kept on blessing these three times. Curse them. All right, I'm going to go curse them right now. I pronounce a blessing upon you, Yisrael. Isn't that what happened? Every time he went out there and he had the curse, he kept, this is the put upon Yisrael. When you read the account, he went back, he did his sorcery thing. Oh, you know, I'm strictly doctor. And he went out there with the intent. He didn't go through that for nothing. He went out there with the intent to curse Yisrael. But he couldn't do it. It's impossible to do it. Why? Because the blessing of our Heavenly Father is upon us. Again, 24:10. Then the displeasure of Balak burned against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. He got mad. You ever been so mad? You go, you know what comes after that? I summoned you to curse my enemies. And see, you have kept on blessing them these three times. And I flee to your face. 24:11. I said, I would greatly esteem you. And see, Yahweh has kept you back from esteem. He said, man, I'm trying to build you up. You to have a Grammy and Oscar. I want you to win the Super Bowl. I want you to have a trophy. I'm giving you things, man. I got stuff to bless you with. I'm trying to give you esteem, riches. I'm trying to make you a star in the sky. And now flee to your place. I said, 24:11, I would greatly esteem you. And see, Yahweh has kept you back from esteem. How did Yahweh keep him back from esteem? Which esteem did he keep him back from? The esteem of sorcery, the esteem of witchcraft, the esteem of cursing what Yahweh has blessed. See, that's what they deem as being esteemed, to be an adversary to the children of Yisrael. Do we understand that? That's what they esteem as honor. That's why they took those symbols to be a star. Who were the stars? The 12 tribes, and according to Yahweh's word, they were the stars. He said he had a dream about the sun, the moon, and the stars underneath, right? And the interpretation was the sun was Yaakov. The moon was his mother. And the 12 stars were his brother. So now where do we come from getting all these filthy people as stars, Little Nasty X, Kim Kardashian, Crazy West. These are all great. Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, how do they become stars?
Come on.
But yet we are looked at as nothing in this earth.
Come on now.
24:12, and Balaam said to Balak, did I not also speak to your messengers whom you sent to me, saying that this is his retort? Because he told them from the beginning. And Balaam said to Balak, did I not also speak to your messengers whom you sent to me, saying, if Balak should give me his house filled with silver and gold, I am unable to go beyond the word of Yahweh. What does his word say? His word is forever shut up in the heavens.
Yes.
And he said, as the dew will come down, so shall my pleasure be according to my word.
Yes.
I'm unable to go beyond the word of Yahweh to do either good or evil of my own heart.
Hallelujah.
What Yahweh speaks, that I speak. And that should be what all of us do. And now see, I am going to my people. Come, let me advise you what this people is going to do to your people in the latter days. So here's our hope, family, because we are in the latter days, huh? And he took up his proverb and said, 24:15, the saying of Balaam, son of Beor, and the saying of the man whose eyes are opened, the saying of him who hears the words of the Mighty One and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. I see him, but not now. I observe him, but not near. Shall come out of Yaakov, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and shall destroy all the sons of Seth. And Edom shall be a possession, and Seir shall be a possession, enemies, and Yisrael is doing mightily. So he's seeing way down the line, family. Remember what we read in the book of Enoch? What Enoch saw thousands upon thousands of years ago was for the end time, for the generation far off, it says. And when he's talking about far off, he's talking about the times that we are in right now, family. And he says, 24:18, and Edom, who were once our oppressors, shall be a possession, and Seir shall be a possession, enemies, and Yisrael is doing mightily. And out of Yaakov, one shall rule and destroy the remnant from Ar. He then looked at Amalek, and he took up his proverb and said, Amalek was first among the nations, but his latter end is to perish forever. Who do we fight from generation to generation, family? Other than Amalek. And what find out it meant? The people gathered against us, right? So he said, they're going to perish. So what did he say? The end is revealed from the beginning. See, this is what I love about the word of Yahweh. Keep your book of the dead. Keep your Quran. But answer me this out of your book of the dead. Answer me this out of your Quran. Answer me this out of your Vedas. Answer me this. Which one of your books tells in detail, without you referencing the Torah, what is to take place in the future? Which one of your books can do that? If any one of your books can accurately predict events that have come to pass, not by edits, but in its pure form, in the oldest manuscript that you have, any one event. As a matter of fact, the scriptures say out of the mouth of two or three, give me three events in one of your books that does not reference the Torah or the prophets, the Tanakh or even the New, and I believe it. But you can't. You know why? Because your gods are wood and stone. They cannot see, they cannot hear, they can't predict nothing. But the God who created everything, who has already, as it said, the land that was slain from the foundation of the world. So he already finished everything for us. We just have to go through the course of time.
That's right.
No other book can do that.
That's right.
But you know what? You Egyptian, you Neo-Egyptologists, our Creator said what was going to happen to you and your seed in the future.
That's right.
As we see, every one of these nations, whether they are known today or not, Abba said, this is what's going to take place with y'all in the future.
Amen.
Me and my children win. Simple as that. I win. I'm the winner. You will lose. 24:21. He then looked on I think that's the Canaanites, and he took up this proverb and said, firm is your dwelling place, and your nest is set in the rock. But Cain is to be burned. Till when does Ashur keep you captive? And he took up his proverb and said, oh, who does live when El does this? And ships shall come from the coast of Kittim, and they shall afflict Ashur and afflict Eber, and so shall Amalek, and he also perishes. And Balaam arose and left and returned to his place, and Balak headed his way. So after he did that prediction, he dropped the mic and went on home. Said, look, I done told you everything that's going to take place. And now, did Balak change his way? Only Yahweh knows. But we know that Balaam stood firm on the word of Yahweh, and even though he knew ways of doing ill things to the nation of Israel, once the spirit of Elohim came upon him, couldn't do it, because we are blessed family.
Hallelujah.
And you cannot curse what Abba has blessed.
Amen.
Jeremiah 1:10, voice of power. See, I have set this day. I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Why is the Bible under attack? Is anyone turning people back to the Most High? What is the word of Yah? What is Torah? Did Paul teach against the Torah? What is sin? What does the Torah teach about the Messiah of Israel? Should we observe the feast of the Most High if we do not occupy the land of Israel? What is the relationship between Egypt and Israel? What is the purpose of the Back to Africa movement? Is having multiple wives taught in the Torah? Curses! Four wonders. This was from 10:7:15, family. And hallelujah, to this day, Abba's word is still going forth.
Hallelujah.
Out of this little, seemingly insignificant camp called Beth Yahweh. Shalom, brothers and sisters.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cocoon. Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Toda Abba Yah for the blessing of this day. Toda for the blessing of your word. I thank you, Abba Yah, for bringing us here together to gather, Father, in your name, Father, in your spirit, Father, in obedience to your word, Father. We pray now, Father, that the future meal, Father, is for Father, which we know it will be, Father, because your word is always fulfilling. Just ask that you place your spirit mightily upon my brother as he teaches us today, Father, out here in the beautiful, quote-unquote, wilderness, Father. The nicely furnished wilderness that you have provided for us out here at Patapsco Valley State, Abba Yah. Just ask that all my brothers and sisters that are on their way out here, Father, that you make their travel safe, Father. As my brother Baruch used to say back in the day, that no hurt, harm, or danger come upon them. And, Father, that no hurt, harm, or danger come upon us, that we continue to dwell in a car for the duration of the time that we are out in this feast, Father. And that, Father, we grow more in your love, Father, and in your spirit, Father, and in obedience to your word, Father. Strengthen us. Uphold us. Safeguard us, Father, and fill us up. B'shem Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh.
Count my blessings till they're really high. What a life. I've been seeing we could really die. It be looking good in pictures after we be crying. Make me think of how it feels to crucify Messiah. Yes, you are from Adonai, even Elohim, David. Sing a song for me like 51. A 23 isn't the one that I've been said to be. Foreign language, what you're talking don't make sense to me. Heart beating, I've been praying for a steady one. Registration, I've been pinning as a ready one. I've been thinking that the last boss already called. And I've been thinking in the last day, the game is back to one.
Come on, bless us to the really high.
What a life.
I've been seeing we could really die. You be looking good in pictures after we be crying.
It made me think of how it feels. We can call him, yes, you walk him out of nine.
Even Elohim,
Ben David, sing a song.
Me like 51.
And I've been
so they really high. My advice, find a place to pray and vocalize. Get with others who speak knowledge and can simplify. Find a cover, bigger brother who can empathize. Real life, I have you holding yourself in the rain. In the cold, 1% left on your mobile phone. Thinking death is all that's left for those who stay too slow. Doors locked on every church, no place for man to go. Oh no.
Got my blessings to the really high.
What a life.
I've been seeing we could really die.
Yeah, I've
been looking good in pictures after we be crying.
It made me think of how it feels. We can call you Yeshua from Adonai. You've been David. I've been turning into song. And so my language, what you talking, don't listen to me. Open my eyes.
Selfless side, let it ride.